The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. REMAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group REMAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning. It's Andy Brownell. It's Saturday morning, and I, of course, am with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group REMAX Results. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Oh, my goodness. Whirlwind conference in Vegas. I mean, I got home Thursday evening after our flight was delayed twice, but at least we were supposed to get home early, so it was still only like 8:30 when we got home. It wasn't that bad. But, yeah, I have to say there was a lot of buzz at conference this year. What's going to happen in the future with real estate? You know, just kind of like we talked about last week, we talked about, you know, what is this pending lawsuit or the settlement going to look like for realtors? And it was very reassuring to hear that, you know what, despite of what the headlines might say, realtors are not going to start working for free. It's not going to become charity work. We're still going to get paid, and maybe the way we get paid is different. You know, maybe it will be that the buyers, and in many states it does work that way. You know, maybe the buyers will pay the commission for the buyer's agent and the sellers will pay the commission for the seller's agent. But if so, then the buyers will probably take that into consideration when they make their offer and offer a little less than they would if the seller were paying. So it's all going to come out in the wash.
I was going to say, when you talked about this last week, ultimately the offer is the offer, right? I mean, it's
right. Exactly.
And that is where it is, and how the money gets divided out is something that gets worked out.
Correct. And what I did learn is that only 18 states in the whole United States use the contracts that we've been using my entire career, which is a contract that gives us the right to represent a buyer. And so basically when we meet with a buyer before we even show them houses, or, you know, I'm not going to say we don't show them one house. Maybe they call and we meet them at a house and then we talk and we explain the importance of being in a contract, which says you're giving me permission to be your realtor, to work exclusively, you know, on your behalf. So you're not going to work with one realtor this weekend, one next weekend, a different one. Because sometimes people think, oh, if I've got 16 realtors looking for me, looking for properties for me, that puts me in a better position. But the fact is, unless you have an obligation with one of those realtors, none of them are working for you. So I always explain to buyers the importance of the contract is I can show you houses without it, you know, as long as I've just explained agency to you and you realize that I'm representing the seller, you know, when it's a REMAX listing, or you're not being represented at all if there's no contract, right? So I always tell people, don't be afraid of the contract, because it is a contract, it's legal and it's on paper, but I'm not going to work for somebody who doesn't feel comfortable working with me. If they don't feel like I'm doing what I promised them I would do, then we're going to end that contract in a quick hurry. And I'll knock on wood, that has never happened to me. So I do work hard and keep my customers happy, thank goodness. But the fact is that if you're my customer, I owe you no fiduciary duties. If you become my client, it is a whole different ballgame. Now, anything I know that could affect the sale of that property, I'm obligated to tell you. I'm just really working much harder for you, right? And yeah. And like, let's say I know what you're looking for and you're my client. I go to a listing appointment and I think, oh my gosh, this is perfect for Andy. Before it even hits the market, I'm going to call Andy and let him know. And I can do that because you're my client. If you're my customer, I really owe that fiduciary duty to my clients. So I would have to call one of my clients to say, hey, Mark or Jean or Jan, this house would be perfect for you. So the bottom line is that it's a super beneficial form. And I didn't realize, I mean, I've been using it my entire career. I did not realize that we're one of only 18 states that uses it. So it's those states that haven't been using such an agreement that are really going to have an adjustment with the way things are. So I did get enlightened about that. And then the other thing is, you know, it's no different. And we talked a little bit about that as well, than a for sale by owner. I mean, I've sold many many for sale by owners over the years. And whenever I've called them and said, listen, I have a client under contract. The contract says that if I don't get, you know, paid from the seller or the listing broker, which in your case, there's not one because you're a for sale by owner, that they're going to have to pay me. And they would rather buy something where the seller's going to pay. So if you're willing to pay me, then I can show them your house. And always, honestly, rarely even meet resistance. They say, yeah, of course, we'll pay you the commission. So it's not a problem. And it was really nice to hear the reassurance, you know, coming from above. And we also heard that, you know, the agents, which is something I suspected, the agents that are the most experienced, well-versed, can show their value are the agents that will thrive with the changes. So yeah, I'm not at all worried about that. And I don't think buyers or sellers should be either, because like I said, it might look different, but it's not really going to be that different.
Except for those other states that you pointed out that don't have that client relation.
Yeah, they have a lot to learn, and they're all going to have to start using the forms and learning the forms. But I would hate to be in the business 24 years and now have to change the way I do things, you know? I mean, it'll be difficult, but let's face it, change is inevitable. Change is everywhere. Change is constant. So it is what it is, and they will be fine.
As a consumer, I would not feel comfortable not having that client relationship.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. And that's because, I mean, obviously you're well-educated in the subject of real estate, but I think because I've taught you, right? I mean, I've told you the value, not that you didn't realize it before, but I think you really understand now. And I think that's our job, is to educate our clients. So as long as we're doing our job and doing it well, everybody can stop worrying. It's going to be fine. It really is. And on a really positive note, we had Brian Buffini. And I love him. You know, I've always talked about his bold predictions and what he says the rates are going to do, what he says sales are going to do. And he's so darn good. If you look back year over year, his predictions are pretty spot on. He does a lot of research and he knows what he's talking about. Well, give you some fun facts. Transactions in 2021, nationwide, of course, were 5.6 million. Okay. In 2020, 5.6 million. In 2021, there were 6.1 million real estate transactions in the U.S. In 2022, that dropped by a million. There were 5.1 million in 2022. But then guess what happened from 2022 to 2023? Now, remember, the interest rates were climbing, right?
Yes.
And the total transactions, United States, U.S.-wide, 3.9 million, literally 23.5% less. And I think you remember many times I said most agents are going to finish this year about 25% down. Well, doesn't that make sense if sales were 23.5% less, how that would happen? Okay, so now his prediction for 2024 is that we will have 4.6 million transactions, which means we'll go up by 18%. And then in 2025, we will be at 5.3, which is almost right back to where we were in 2020. And that would be up an additional 15%. So things are not looking gloom and doom for the real estate market. And then, of course, Rochester, with, you know, the growth of Mayo and the 40,000 new jobs, it'll just be a fabulous, fabulous real estate market here in Rochester in the next, you know, I'd say foreseeable future.
I was going to say 30, 40 years at least.
Yeah, long past my days. That's for darn sure. That is for darn sure. So,
why don't we take a break here, Robin?
Okay.
We'll come right back in just a moment with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results. It is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. Fresh from Vegas? I'm kidding.
Yeah, well,
but back from Vegas.
I was one of the smart ones. I went to bed. You know, like, people are like, you're going to bed, Robin? It's only 10 o'clock. I'm like, listen, in my body, that's midnight. And yeah, I'm going to bed. I have a long day of classes tomorrow. I want to actually absorb information. When I listen to the speakers, I want to hear what they're saying. So I got plenty of sleep. I'm old. All right. So some other fun facts that I learned. This one I thought was an interesting data. The average age for moving out of the house, what do you think it is?
Nowadays, I'm going to say 23.
Oh, you're pretty close. 26. I'm like,
well, geez, no, that's,
I was married 3 years.
A lot older than I thought it was.
But not 3 years older. I mean, I guess I would have thought, I don't know. I guess, yeah, 26 is the average age of moving out. And the average age for the first-time home buyer is 35 years old. And so in that group, that's the millennials, right? From the time they move out of the house until the time they buy a house, that there are 72 million millennials. So that's a lot of home buyers coming coming up on the front. And then we have 45.5 million are that household formation. So that are right between that ages of 26 and 35. So of all the millennials, more than half are right in those ages.
So there's another big bubble coming through of people who are going to want to own homes.
Yes. Now, let's look at the interest rates a little bit. 2020, they were 3.72. 2021, 2.65, average numbers, of course. 2022, 3.22. And then 2023, they went from 3.22 to up to 8%. So you wonder why purchasing homes went down by 25% almost. Well, that's it right there in a nutshell.
Right. And that's what the Federal Reserve wanted to see happen.
Yep, exactly. It worked. And so that was the peak. And now the projection is 2024, the average will be 6% this year. And then he's projecting, Brian Buffini, with his bold predictions, is projecting that the average interest rate for 2025 is going to be 5.25%.
Okay.
So, and I'm
not actually surprised by those numbers.
Yeah. So, fun fact, in 1971, the interest rate was 7.33. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you had said, ooh, 7.33, that is way too high, I am going to wait until these interest rates drop before I buy a house. How long do you suppose you would have had to wait before they went down from that 7.33 in 1971?
I'm guessing it wasn't another 25 years or at least 25 years.
1993. You would have waited to buy a house in 1993. How much rent would you have paid between 71 and 93? And what do you suppose happened to house prices between 71 and 93? So you would have rented for 22 years waiting for those rates to go down while house values actually quadrupled.
Yeah, you're right. So, you think of that in 70, you could buy the house I'm in right now for probably $35,000.
Yeah, isn't that something? Isn't that something? So yeah, so the bottom line is, I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting until the interest rates go down, just buy now. I mean, even though he's predicting they're going to go down a little, the prices are going to keep going up. The prices are continuing to go up, up, up. So you're not going to be coming money ahead. So if you're ready to buy, buy. 23% of first-time home buyers right now are getting a gift or a loan from parents or other family members, maybe grandparents, for like down payment money so that they can deal with those interest rates a little better. So there's a lot of equity. A lot of the, you know, people my their age and older have equity, and they can use it to give it to the kids or borrow it to the kids or whatever you want to do so that the kids can get in.
So the irony of that is that when these parents who are extending help to their children to buy the homes, they were paying much higher interest rates.
Yeah.
Than their children are paying now. Yep.
That's exactly right. And I don't remember my parents helping me when I got my, I mean, if they could have, they probably would have, but they weren't in a position to do that. All right. So again, this fact hasn't changed. I've been saying this for quite a while. 33% of all buyers in the market are cash buyers. Okay.
That is an amazing number.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I mean, we're in a good spot. So those people that are just waiting for that next wave of foreclosures, yeah, you probably better look for some other gold mine because that's not coming. Not coming. 30% of buyers between the ages of 33 and 42 are saying that one of the top things that they are looking for when they are looking to relocate is the quality of the school system.
Yeah.
So I guess what I can say to taxpayers is when there's referendums trying to better the school districts, it's probably worth it because in the long run, it definitely keeps the value of your property, your neighborhood, your city all up. It's important, even if people have a hard time grasping it because they don't currently have kids in the school district. The quality of the school district is an overall really important factor.
I personally know people who lived in the Sun Belt and moved back to Minnesota once they had the kids because of the school system situation.
Mm-hmm. We're lucky. We have a very good school system here. We're very, very lucky. 7 million people in the U.S. will turn 65 years old in the next 2 years. That sound familiar?
Not in 2 years, but getting close.
Getting close. So in 2023... Well, actually, in 2022, Canadian buyers in the U.S. increased by 31% year over year. And in 2023, Canadian buyers in the U.S. increased another 20% year over year. So people are coming from Canada. It's very, very expensive to buy in Canada. And people are coming from Canada and they are buying homes. And of course, you can probably guess where they're buying. It's not so much Minnesota. You know, it's all along the coast, Florida and California, Texas. So, yeah, they're not interested in moving from Canada to, or not even.
It'd be interesting to see which parts of Canada have the highest migration, if it's, you know, Montreal or Toronto, or if it's British Columbia.
A lot of them buy homes in the U.S. as second homes or investment properties as well.
Oh, okay.
Because their money can go so much further here. Because real estate's so expensive in Canada. All right. So this was, I thought, another fun fact. I think I've covered these things before, but it's all new information, fresh information. The 10 top reasons people will be moving in 2024. Family ties, right? I tell you, most of my clients are grandparents coming to Rochester because their kids took a job at Mayo and their grandkids are here and they don't like being away from the grandkids. So they'll follow them around the country, which is, I would do the same if I had them. Need a bigger space. People love the rate that they have, you know, in the house that they have, but the house just no longer fits them. So they're going to finally give up on that. I've been holding on to this house just because I've been in love with my 3% interest rate.
Right. And it's time for the little kids, but once they're teenagers, you got to have the space.
Right. And legacy real estate. So basically, you know, again, more parents and grandparents helping the next generations buy real estate. Number 5, people want a vacation home. Number 6, lots of equity. So lots of choices. Number 7, move into a better neighborhood. Number 8, time to downsize. Number 9, just relocating out of the area. And number 10, a change of work or change of life, marriage, divorce, death. So all the normal stuff.
All right. Well, this is a great moment to take a break then. We'll come back and chat some more with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results, in just a moment on News Talk 1340, KROCAM 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
News Talk 1340 KROC AM, 96.9 FM, Saturday morning with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. And Robin, anything else? Did you glean any more information from being the only person in the conference who was wide awake?
Well, there might have been a few more. Scott was right there with me. Well, I learned that RE/MAX is still the number one. And everybody says every company is number one, but the most transactions per agent. So no one sells more real estate than RE/MAX. That's true worldwide. It's true nationwide. It's true right here in Rochester. I mean, I think the RE/MAX agents here in Rochester sell about 1/3 of the market. So number one, nobody in the world sells more than real estate than RE/MAX. 2-1, actually. So average RE/MAX brokerages, each agent sells 2 to every 1 that other brokerages sell. So really proud to be affiliated with that brand, Sports Tour. And there's 140,000 plus agents. And I came back with a medal for being in the top 50. So I'm also pretty proud of that. And that's for our team. So Gwaltney Group is one of the top 50 teams in all of the United States.
Wow.
140,000 agents. So yeah, it was very, we had a couple of different award ceremonies, a couple of different classes. We had Ellen DeGeneres as a speaker. We had, met our new CEO. It was good. I'm ready to work. I always come back from conferences fired up. And you know what? The timing is perfect because I found an article in the National Association of Realtors that I found really interesting. And they say that they've analyzed the historical listing metrics and they've been able to pinpoint the absolute best time to put your house on the market. So mark your calendar because the week of April 14 could actually offer the perfect mix of market conditions according to a new realtor.com study. All right. Says the study analyzes the trends of home sales, finds that sellers could potentially fetch as much as $34,000 more for their home if they list between April 14th and April 20th.
That's crazy.
And it talks about spring being generally the high season for homes and just the perfect mix in the past of fewer days on the market, it says higher home prices historically. That week, they're typically 10.4% higher. And then it says increased buyer demand. That week, there's also 18.4% more online views per listing than any other typical week. And fast-paced sales, usually 9 days faster, they sell that week. And less competition from sellers. Typically, there are nearly 14% fewer homes on the market. So really weird statistics, but they're saying the best, absolute best week to put your house on the market is between the 14th and the 20th of April. Well, I would say then it's time to call now so we can say, what do you got to do to get those pictures scheduled? So just telling you, you don't want to miss that window.
There you go. Right. I imagine to wait till the next week is still pretty good.
I'm sure if you start this week, the next week.
Yeah,
our inventory is just plain down. And the bottom line is we're seeing, I have articles here that are saying mortgage rates are creeping down. We're seeing more and more applications for home purchases. New home sales are still cool, but they are up 6% over this time last year. So at least they're heading in the right direction. And let's see. I've got some listings that I would
talk about.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I've got a really nice townhome at 1012 Southern Ridge Drive. It is a zero entry, so no stairs whatsoever. It's got 2 beds and 2 baths, and it has a 2-car garage, and it actually has a really nice little storage attic above the garage where you have a staircase built in, not just one of those pull-down ladders, but like a solid staircase that you can walk up, and there's a whole attic for storage up there, which is amazing. Mm. Yeah, the total square footage of the townhome, it is slab on grade, so it's 1,576 square feet. And that one is being offered at $364,900. So that's a hot little commodity.
I bet that is. That sounds really great.
Yeah, it's nice. And then I have a little house out in Stuartville, and this one is 603 3rd Street. And it's not that little. It's 2,000 square feet. 603 3rd Street, Southwest Stuartville. And it has 5 beds, 2 baths, a 2-car garage, and it's 1,331 square feet on the main floor, and then almost another 1,000 below. So it's just over 2,000 square feet, and that one's 279.9.
Older that doesn't house. Look small that at all.
It was built in 1962, so it's okay. a good year. Over in Waukesha, we have a new listing at 1006 Jefferson Avenue, and that one is also a ranch that was built in 1979. It has a 2-car attached garage, but then it has a big detached shed in addition. So that one is another 2,000 square foot house with 3 bedrooms and 1 bath. And that one is 269.9. And I have that one. Oh, brand new construction over in Waubusha. 3 beds, 2 baths. It is 1,076 square feet finished because the lower level won't be completely finished. And a 2-car garage, and that is 319.9, and it has a nice big lot, 0.83 acres.
That's a nice lot.
And new construction is always fun and exciting for first-time home buyers. They always get a big kick out of, you know, it being, I know my first home was a brand new construction, and it was fun because I knew that nobody else lived there. It was my house, you know? It's when you get that opportunity, it's exciting.
It absolutely is. It's shiny and brand new.
Yes. I've got another townhome up on Coral Court Northeast, so that nice subdivision up behind Mayo Northeast. And that one is a 2-bed, 2-bath, 2-car garage, another slab on grade, 1,652 square feet. That one's 359.9. That one was built in 2002 versus my one on Southern Ridge was built in 2010. And then I have, that one is sold. That one is sold. Things are not sticking around real long. We've got 5110 Lehman Lane Northwest. That's a 5-bed, 4-bath, 4,000 square feet house with a 3-car garage. It's a 2-story. That one's 565. Yeah, that's a nice big house in a nice, great neighborhood right over there. Especially if you like to golf, it's real close to the golf course. And let's see, I think that about covered. Oh no, I do have a great one down in Waubusha that. It's a big house. It is 5 beds, 5 baths, 5,000 square feet. It was built in 1981, but it's had upgrades to the kitchen and to the bathrooms. And it's in a really private location down on what we call the prairie, you know, down on San Prairie. Yeah, and it has backwaters behind it. And that one is 764.9. So those are what we have offering for listings. So as you can tell, we could use some more. So if someone out there is listening and they think, yes, I would, I'm ready to move on, I'm ready to put this house on the market for one of those 10 reasons, whether it's to move closer to family or change in life or maybe hopefully something exciting, retirement, a wedding coming up, who knows, babies being born. But there's lots of reasons to sell your house and move to someplace else. And we definitely would love to help you do that. And I do want people to know that sometimes they're not sure. They're just not sure. And like, what does this look like if I do it? And so that's when we often get invited to come on in, take a look at the house and just do our assessment and say, this is what we feel like you could sell this house for. And we're, you know, we're using data, not just our, it's not a wild guess or anything. And this is how much we feel like the house will sell for. This is how long we think it'll take to sell the house. This is what we'll do for you to get your house sold. And this is the timeline we would recommend to meet up with what your plans are. And then it just gives you more information to actually base that decision to say, I'm not really ready to do it at this time. Or, yeah, this sounds good. Let's go for it. And there's no obligation. There's no fee for that. It's just something to help you make a better decision. So if you ever want to just have me come in and say, I don't know, Robin, I'm not sure if I want to sell yet or not. And if I do, what should I do to the house to get it ready? Never hesitate to call, because I'm happy to come over and help you with that.
All right. We better throw that phone number out then.
All right. Well, my cell phone is 507-259-4926.
All right, Robin. Thank you so much. And we'll check in next Saturday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.